for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, September the 3rd, 2011. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of this service teaching on sanctification of the soul. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Well, this always happens. People always want to control me. Well, that tells me you had a controlling parent because you judged them and you let the sun go down on it so it sets in motion reaping. Okay, if you forgive them by sundown and go to God and say, I forgive them, it doesn't set up a reaping. It stops with when you say, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just and He'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So when I said this is a rerun of how you're growing up, you're telling me your husband is, that's what I said, and I didn't even know her. I said, you're telling me your husband is doing the same thing to you your mother and daddy did. So she emailed me back. She said, well, isn't it normal to want to be loved? Isn't it normal to want affection? I said, yes, it is. But what is wrong about it is when you get angry when you don't get it, proves it's an idol. When you have an idol, you'll get angry if you don't get it. Or you fear you'll lose it if you have it. Or if you don't have it, you fear you won't get it. And you can always know that there's an idol behind it if there's anger. So in those areas, we have to work out our salvation. We have to pray. We have to take that idol up the mountain. God, if you glorify you the most, for I never to have affection, then so be it. But devil, you can't keep me from having it if it'd bring God greater glory and honor. And just lived for the glory of God. So anyway, she emails me back and she said, well, I don't remember much from under six. I don't remember living with my mom much. She says she's wanting a mama. Just a few what I call slides in my memory. And they were what I call big ticket items. Most I remember is living with Nanny and Granddad. They adopted me. You see, abandonment. My mom had a nervous breakdown. You see, mental illness, depression. And Nanny and Granddad adopted my brother and I guess about 6 years old. Then when I was 13, me and my brother Charles moved back in with my mom. I remember me always. Yes, I guess you're right. I was the one always held responsible because she said, my husband makes me wait on him hand and foot. And I said, well, did you have to wait on anybody growing up? And she said, yeah, I guess you're right. I was the one always held responsible. My brother and sister, we were not held accountable like I. My grandparents and my mom both let them get away with stuff, but I got the discipline, the consequences, and it was me as a rube cleaning up after everyone. So now she's married to a man that makes her clean up everything. Do you see that what you're going through directly parallels how you grew up? Whatever your problems up here are the very things you didn't deal with as a child because you didn't know how to do it. The very problems you're having now were issues, were giants in your land that you didn't conquer because you didn't know how. She said, don't get me wrong, I don't mind helping. But I don't want to be the only one. Now as an adult woman, a wife, I clean, I cook, and I clean as I go as I cook. Then I serve him his plate. Oh, and this is all after I get off work. All the while he's sitting on his little bottom. So after dinner, I don't think it's too much to ask that he help clean up. I mean, come on. It's like four items. Remember, I clean as I cook, so it is very little to ask. A woman is created and called to be a helpmate, not a maid. So, yeah, it irks me. Like the other night, I was so tired, so I fell asleep on the couch. When I woke up, like at midnight, I went to let my dog out for the night, and lo and behold, And I mean, I'm not making fun of her pain, but I mean, you can see the situation. It's just childhood stuff. Behold, he did not clean a thing. To have a clean kitchen the next morning, I had to do it. It happens like that all the time. That is just one example. It's just so ain't right. There again, I would never have married him had I known the truth. I was very honest and very upfront with him before I married him, and here we are. And I wrote her back, are you getting the connection? Because there is a connection with whatever you're going through. There's a connection. It could be a generational connection. It might not be your mother and daddy. It might be your forefathers that did not deal with their issues. If you had a forefather that was angry and bitter and fearful and a controller and whatever, and he let the sun go down on it, and he didn't deal with his sin, then it's passed on and it's dropped into your spiritual garden. And that's why when you have a problem, say for example, you have a lust problem. And you haven't been in sexual sin. Most people have, but if you haven't been in sexual sin and you were not violated as a child and you never looked at pornography, but yet you've got sexual lust, that tells me there's seeds planted. You could have had a grandfather that was a pervert and he let the sun go down on it. And so here you've got perversion in your spiritual garden that is rooted in generational iniquities of the forefathers. So if it doesn't fit your mother and father, you go back to the generations before them, because there's fruit coming down and there's a reaping coming down. And so God wants to show you what's next. So what comes out of a person's mouth, for example, is revealing what's down in your heart. Is that right? I've had people curse around me, and I say, do you know that's what's in your heart? Oh, no, I didn't really mean to do that. Yes, you did. Because what's in a man's heart or a woman's heart comes out their mouth. Go to Matthew chapter 12. I tell you, this principle that I'm showing you today, to me, is the most life-changing thing has been in my life. Because I don't allow... When something comes up, I say, okay, where'd that come from? And I deal with it, and God plants something good, and He blocks the reaping. And it's the most life-changing principle if you can get it down. It's not your brother, it's not your mother, it's not your sister, but it's you and I in need of prayer. As Kyle said, we got to get over ourselves. It's a self thing. Okay, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. 34. You brood of vipers. Now, a viper has venom, right? How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Now, the Bible says no man can... Well, let me read this. It says, the good man out of his good treasure, the treasure that's in his heart, produces good fruit. And the evil man out of his evil treasure produces evil. You say, well, you know, I'm not evil, but let me tell you, we've had evil forefathers. We'd probably be shocked if we knew what our forefathers were into. Because the sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. Incest goes 10 generations, which is approximately 2,045 forefathers, and it's the same with a bastard curse or illegitimacy. It goes 10 generations, which is 2,000, I think, and 40 forefathers. Don't quote me exactly, but it's something like that. So with all those forefathers, we bound to had some illegitimacy in all of our lives. My grandparents were married as long as old people can be married. My mother and father were married 60 years. I didn't know my grandparents. I didn't know of any of them that were... weren't good people trying to do what's right. And I didn't know it, but I found out that I was under an incestuous, illegitimate curse. My grandfather's mother and daddy were cousins. It's a wonder I even had a brain. If I hadn't been doing this, it could have affected my children. But constantly dealing with it. I have family members, my sisters, for example, they haven't believed in deliverance, even though my sister knows the Lord. They didn't believe Christians could have demons or they couldn't be under a curse. And her children are ADHD. And I have another sister whose son was, and I'm not criticizing them, ADHD, because they didn't deal with that. And because I've been dealing with the generational things and dealing with demons in my life and in my bloodline for probably since 1982, so is that 82, 92, 2002, almost 30 years, all three of my grandchildren, Kyle's children, are honor students. They were all average over 104. David, my youngest grandson, had a card wrapped around his neck. His navel card had three knots in it. And the doctor said he had only known two cases where the navel card had a knot in it and the child was retarded. He had three, and he graduated with honors. And it's because of dealing with sin and the generational iniquities of the forefathers and not allowing sin in your life and the lives of your children. Don't tolerate sin in your life or anyone else's. You know, I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen parents that will take up for an ungodly husband or an ungodly wife, and because of fear of that ungodly mate, they'll compromise and not separate the holy from the profane. And what happens, it confuses the child, and then the child goes toward the ungodly parent. As believers, we've got to make a clear-cut distinction between evil and good. If you don't, your children will be confused. And you've got to stand for righteousness. You've got to deal with your sin. You'll never be perfect. There's no perfect people. And God's not going to, you know, we think, oh, dear God, I got so much in my garden, I'll never get it out. Hey, it's God's job. But don't resent the turkeys because He uses them. The turkeys in your face, He uses them. He uses people to mirror. See, when in church, when I got mad at that woman, she was mirroring something that was in my conscience that was bothering me that I didn't even know was there. And when I asked God, He showed me, I forgave my husband, and she wasn't even an issue anymore. If I hadn't dealt with it, I'd still be mad at her. You see what I'm saying? You've got to forgive. Okay, so what comes out the mouth is coming from the heart. James says that the tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison, and no man can tame it. You can't tame the tongue. But when you get that seed out of your garden that was planted that would cause you to have a vicious tongue, or the seed that was planted, whatever you're always saying, I used to say a million times, I don't say it anymore, I know those that have been here before have heard me say, fat, 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 one of these days I'm going to get rid of my fat. Well, hallelujah, I finally have victory after almost 73 years. Praise the Lord. But it's been a lifelong process of trying to get, why am I always saying I'm fat? You see, there was something planted down in my heart. And it's taken almost 73 years to get to the root of it. But I had to deal with being in the womb during the depression. My mother used to say, we didn't know when our next meal was coming from. I used to shell peas on the hash, she said, so we'd have something to eat. My daddy was in the soup line in the WPA during the depression. You see, if I was in the womb, and I always had a fear of being hungry, fear of being without food. See, little babies can hear. And sanctification is a process, and I haven't arrived. I've still got things that I'm still working out my salvation with fear and trembling. But don't allow depression. You know what depression is? I went to a conference some years ago, and I heard all these clinical psychologists. It wasn't supposed to be a psychological conference, but I heard all these psychological so-called Christian teachers, and God says psychology. See to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of men, by the elemental principles of the world, rather than Christ. And they said, oh, when a person's depressed, pull down the shades, dim the lights. That depresses me.
Yes.
It's depressing. That's ridiculous. I used to minister to a girl that came out of Satanism, and she loved the dark. She loved the shades pulled. I'd go to her house, and I'd pull those shades all the way up to the ceiling where light would come in. Because the Bible says men love darkness rather than light, right? And so depression is, I look at my life. I've never been really depressed except over my weight. I'd look in the mirror, and I wasn't petite, because my mother used to say, "You big old stand up in the road, go ahead and eat it." Mother, what's a stand up in the road? Oh, well, that's just a term we always used. Yeah, on me. But she would say that, see, so the lie is, a big old stand up in the road is the opposite of petite. And to be acceptable to her, I have to be petite. So the lie is, I'd look in the mirror, and I wouldn't be petite. I couldn't be petite if I weighed 130 pounds. And I would reject myself, nosedive. You get depressed when you look at your life and it's not the way you have this mental image of what you think you ought to look like, be a success in the world, what your mate should look like, what your children should look like, and you take a nosedive when it don't match up to your idol. And so God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, He didn't add the fat, we add that. But anyway, all of us have areas that we have to work out. And so you can't tame the tongue, but you can get the heart purified, because when the heart's purified, I'm not saying I'm fat anymore. And even when I got down to, I probably weigh right now probably 183, 184. I got down to 127 pounds once, and that demon would say, "Fat, fat, 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 fat." I felt fat when I was absolutely skinny. See, it's a mindset. It's down in my heart. What's in your heart comes up into your thought life. You think you're fat. Guess what? It comes out your mouth. Okay, go to Matthew 15. Can I tell you that God, we do things to ourselves that's not God, that He don't like. But God created your hair color. He created your body frame. He created the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, and He said, "You are beautiful in my sight." And so we're not to reject ourselves. Woe to the man who argues with his maker over the way he was made. Okay, Matthew 15 in verse 18 says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man." Okay, I'm thinking, I think it. It's in my heart, I think it, and then I say it, don't I? And the Bible says the words of a whisper are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly, and then they come back up and they defile you. Words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what comes, if I'm always thinking perverted thoughts, where's that coming from, Lord? Some seed has been planted down in my heart, either through the generations, or through how I grew up, or through something that I did. And so then I deal with it, ask God to forgive me, I confess my sin, I mortify it, I put off the old man, put on the new, deny myself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life." Now your heart is, y'all have all seen the illustration of the spirit and the circle around the spirit man, and then the circle around that's called the body, soul, and the spirit. You've always seen that illustration. The heart is your conscience. Your heart is your, in your conscience is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so that's the spiritual garden. Your heart is the spiritual garden. And there's things that have been planted in your heart that's causing bad fruit to produce. And God wants good fruit from our life. And He's already at Calvary given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. He did that at Calvary. And so He tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So if you're saying, "I'm always this, this is always happening," that's a reaping. You see? And it's a default that was set. When you judge your mother and father, the Bible says, "Honor your mother and father and all will be well with you." And honor means you forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship. It don't mean that you support their drug habit, their alcohol habit. It means that you honor their position, and in any area that you did not honor your mother and father, you made a judgment, you let the sun go down on it. It was a violation of the Word of God. Then life is not going well in whatever area you dishonored your mother and father. And what most people don't see when they get sick, and all of us have got little physical things or big physical things, I don't know, things that we need healing from. What we fail to see is there's stuff down there, even though you're prayed up, confessed up, there's stuff down here that's laying dormant. There's bitterness, there's anger, there's unforgiveness. There's places the locusts have eaten. But the good news is God wants to deliver you and set you free, and it's a process of pursuing the Lord. You know, I told this lady that has the big empty love tank. When you make an idol out of a person, you're always up in... I can just see that man. She just can't keep her hands off of him. She's always up in his face. And he wants to say, get away! She probably is driving him crazy. I said, and I'm not justifying his sin, but if you've ever had an idol, anybody make an idol out of you, they crave you, they hugging you, they're kissing you. My last husband, I counted one day, he must have kissed me 200 times. And I'm going to say, get away, get out of my face. I mean, the thing about it is the idolatry of it. There's nothing wrong with hugging somebody or kissing somebody. But if every time you turn around, they're right up here in your face, after your patience wears thin, maybe after 3 or 4 years and the new wears off, you say, get away. Let me breathe. Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be mean. But you love strawberry shortcake. But you don't want it 50 times a day. And I'm saying when he kissed me 200 times a day, he wasn't necessarily wanting sex. He was just affectionate. But he was an illegitimate bastard child that received in the womb that nobody loves me, rejected, didn't have a father, and see, he was very needy. And see, all those places that you're needy, it's normal to want those things, but God wants everything in order. He wants us to have a balance of what's right and not any kind of anything overly. It's kind of like what's that word that says excess? And it works with food. Now with me, you know, with the food idol. And everybody's got areas where we were in idolatry and he wants to deliver us. And so God lets those things lay dormant till he's ready to heal them. So today, if you have pain, if you've got an anger problem, if you've got pain, if you're carrying everybody's burden, that tells me growing up you had to carry everybody's burden. If you've got pain, it tells me that there's vexation down in your heart. There's areas of your heart where you have vexation, which is anger, grief, provocation, hurt, and idolatry. If you have anger, there's an idol behind the anger. Find out what it is. Let me give you an example. If you get angry when you don't get affection, your idol is, I have to have affection. If you get angry because you don't get all the sex you want, your idol is, I've got to have sex. And can I tell you, if you're oversexed, you'll be married to somebody that's undersexed. Because God is trying to get to that idol. He wants you to have a marriage. The marriage bed is undefiled. He wants you to have a proper love relationship, but he does not want us to be a glutton about anything. Because if we are, he won't let us have what we think we ought to have because he is the only God we're to have. And he said, you'll have no other gods but me. You know, breast cancer is rooted in not being breastfed or not nurtured. And a woman, for example, that's not breastfed and not nurtured, she'll marry a man that is not a nurturer. And then she gets breast cancer and she thinks it's really bitterness toward the husband for not nurturing her, but it really goes back to the mother who didn't breastfeed her. Does that make sense? And so If my garden is full of bitterness and perversion and pornography and occult, Freemasonry, Indian ancestry, adultery, fornication, addictions, lust, homosexual, if those are the fruit that's growing in my garden, those things, God wants to eradicate them. In fact, some of these things, if you practice, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And I believe if you're truly born again, you're going to want to deal with them. I'm not teaching save lost, or once saved, always saved, but it's a working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. And He was not only giving you a command, but He's saying, however you want somebody to treat you, you treat them the same way because that's how you're going to be treated. And that's a spiritual law. The law of sowing and reaping and the law of gravity is an irreversible, immutable, unchangeable law of God. There's laws that govern the universe. And so whatever you see in your life as something that's always there, always happened to you, for example, if you're always being abandoned, that tells me that the root cause goes back either generationally to forefathers. Usually that thing comes down the bloodline, or abandoned by your mother and father. And what happens is, if you're abandoned, you have an expectation that your head says, you know, oh no, I'm going to find somebody that'll never leave me. But your heart says, oh yeah, they're just like mom and dad. And an expectation will push somebody to do that bad thing that fulfills your picture of how life goes. And so in getting healing and deliverance, you have to die to, it's normal to have needs, it's normal to have wants, but what's abnormal is the anger that comes when you don't have it, or the fear you won't get it, or if you have it, the fear you'll lose it, or jealousy or envy or covetousness. These things are all rooted in idolatry. How about if hatred is always coming out of your heart? I know people that are always spewing off hate. It's almost like, how can I say this? They might be a person that are just angry inside. And that anger is going to come out in viciousness and hatred. Maybe they're just angry over life and how life has treated them. It's not what they think it ought to be. Idolatry. All of these things have to be taken up the mountain, like Abraham did Isaac, and put a knife to it. God says that we fulfill His law when we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body, and our neighbor as ourselves. And when we don't love, we become lawbreakers, and when we become lawbreakers, we go into a spiritual prison. And we won't come out of there till we choose to love and forgive. And what Kyle heard Tom say is absolutely true. All of your problems are rooted in unforgiveness. Somewhere back there, things are laying dormant and you don't even see it. But I can tell you, in every issue, there's unforgiveness. Either you need to be forgiven for what you've done, or you need to forgive whoever's hurt you. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. So, stand up. And I want you to ask the Lord, what is the biggest problem in your life? That's why sometimes when I minister to people, I say, well, what can I pray for? They'll say, well, I don't know. So I say, well, what is your biggest problem? Because that's the next thing that God wants to do. So, Lord, what is my biggest problem? What's always happening to me? Always being rejected. Lord, I ask for the truth. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice, and I ask for the truth that makes me free. And just deal with whatever the Lord shows. Ask the Lord, whatever big problem it is, ask God how it got there. Did you judge your father for something? I know people that might have a lust problem and they never did anything to. They might have been virgins their whole life, but that lust came down through a daddy that was perverted. Our forefather that was perverted. You got pain. Ask Him to show you where the vexation is. How did you grow up? How was the default set? You trained in the factory. What pushes your button? What makes you angry? What are you afraid of?
If your daddy wasn't ever there, your mother wasn't ever there, you've got to forgive them for not even being there, because it's hard to hear God if they never talked to you. They never communicated to you. You know, Kyle was saying go into the prayer closet. What keeps a person from the Word of God is their mother and daddy never talked to them, or they never communicated to them. And that's one of the big major root of prayerlessness. If mother and daddy didn't talk to me, God don't want to talk to me either. If daddy and mom are not there, then God isn't there either. What a lie. If there's perversion, Lord, what did I do growing up that was perverted? And then confess all of that, and then forgive your forefathers for being perverted. What makes you angry is pointing to the idol. What comes out of your mouth in your hurt? Father, pray with me. Father, I forgive my mother and father. For not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them that my home was totally out of order. You know, if you grew up in contention and strife, can I tell you you're still living in it? Grew up in divorce. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for all the times that they violated the Word of God and not training me up and have provoked me to anger. I forgive them for everything you've shown me. I forgive my forefathers for their perversion, for their anger, for their murder, for their hatred, for pornography, for illegitimately conceiving their children. I forgive my forefathers for incest, adultery, fornication, training me up in witchcraft, training me up in false doctrines, violating the Word of God. I forgive them for denying the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and the deity of Jesus Christ. I renounce every cult, Freemasonry, Satanism, membership in fraternities, sororities, lodges, occult organizations. I nullify and make void, cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity, curse, assignment, and ritual spoken over my forefathers that would put me under Satan's power. I renounce in Jesus' name every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, and ritual spoken by my forefathers that would put me under Satan's power. Forgive me for everything that I have done that you have shown me that has planted seeds, demonic seeds, down in my spiritual garden. I forgive my mother and dad that I had to be the mother and dad. I forgive them that I had to carry them. I had to babysit my brothers and sisters. I couldn't be a little child. I had to be big. I forgive them for rejecting me and abandoning me. I forgive my father for never being there, for being an adulterer, for being a pervert. I forgive my parents for divorce. I forgive them for anger, perfectionism, intolerance, hating me, rejecting me, pushing me away, giving me away. I forgive them for letting brothers and sisters hurt me, smother me, beat me up, try to kill me. I forgive them for not protecting me. And Lord, forgive me that I had to, because I couldn't trust my mother and father's protection. I got into arm of the flesh, and instead of being in your refuge, I went into my own self-made refuge. Put walls around my heart, vowed nobody was going to hurt me again, vowed I don't need anybody, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for everything you've shown me. In Jesus' name. And what I'm telling you today is to give you principles. You're getting layers off today, but deliverance and healing is like peeling an onion. You get freedom, and then there'll be another problem crop up. And if you've let them pile up, you need to ask God to show you which pile to deal with first. You know, if everything, you haven't dealt with anything, and it's all just overwhelming you, God's got a way of out of it. Okay, God, what is step one? Okay, now, Lord, deal with step one. What is step two? It looks too much for me, Lord. But if it's just, if you keep doing it, I've been doing this for so many years that I may have one issue pop up at a time and then deal with it. And the more you do it, the less you'll have to. And but these are principles that you need to remember to always ask God to show you what it is. Now, if you ask God something and He never tells you anything, that tells me you did not have a daddy or a mother that instructed you, guided you, and directed you. So you have to, for God to speak to you, you have to forgive your daddy and mother for never talking to you, never saying anything good to you, never affirming you, never communicating with you. That's got to get out of the way so you'll have a clear ability to hear God. If you rejected your parents' word, you've got to repent of that. Some of you had anger, abusive, cruel parents, and the only way you could the only way you could deal with them is just check out emotionally. You know, you can look at somebody, but I've really turned them off, which is a major route to hearing problems. Not listening to God. Not hearing God. If your parents, for example, if you hated your parents' presence, because it just meant turmoil, it meant strife, it meant pain, it meant abuse. Do you see how you would avoid the presence of God? How you wouldn't want to go into the secret place because that secret place, the lie is God's just like my daddy and mama. And I don't want that. See, God is not like your daddy or mother. God is merciful. He don't put up with your sin. He gives you a spanking. And that's why you should never help people that are living in rebellion. You're in rebellion if you're helping rebels. And God's trying to whip them and you're getting the whipping. Don't enable your children, your grown children. Don't enable them because God is punishing them for their disobedience and their wrong choices. And the scripture says, if we're in covenant with Him, He visits our transgressions with our children. If our children forsake His law, He visits their transgressions with a rod, but He will not deal falsely with His covenant. Meaning that He's going to use His rod of discipline on your children. And if you're running out trying to make them comfortable, buying them groceries, buying them gas money, giving them gas, giving them money, and you're running out trying to make them feel comfortable in the midst of God punishing them, you're in rebellion. You're in rebellion, and God's not going to change them till He changes you first. See, we can't stand to see our kids suffer. My son was living a homosexual lifestyle, and my mother was an enabler. And back then, I didn't try to stop her because I wasn't sure she wasn't doing right. But she sent him $1,800, $2,500, I don't know, a month because she couldn't stand for him to be on the street. And so had he had to sleep on the street, he might still be alive today. So get out of God's way. Turn them over to the Lord. When my mother and father forsake me, God will take you up. Take them up. And they don't need a Savior as long as you're their Savior. If you're trying to get them saved, they will never change till you get out of the way, quit helping them, quit running interference for them, quit taking the hits for them. Because that's kind of like a parent wanting to discipline a child, wanting to spank a child, and the other parent runs up and said, oh no,
That's what my mom did. Oh, Louis, don't spank her. You're going to kill her. He should have. And then I was such a brat. I'd go, oh, I cried till he apologized. And so my dad, when he was 93, I said, Dad, that's what I used to do. Would you please forgive me? He said, well, you forgive me for apologizing. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you pluck up these seeds. And I ask you to break that demonic default. I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and that default. And I break the power of that lie that I have to carry everybody. I have to take care of authority. I have to protect everybody. I have to enable everybody. I break the power of that lie. I forgive my dad and mom for not being there, not talking to me, not answering questions for me, not solving my problem. You see, if I judge my parents for those things and I'm wanting God to solve my problem, I got that issue of I got to forgive my mother and dad for never solving my problem. See, that's got to be cleared away before you can have a clear channel to hear God what's wrong. So if that's the case and you're not hearing anything of how that got there, deal with your relationship with your father and mother and them never talking to you, never saying anything good to you. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I break soul ties with every person who's ever sinned against me. And I forgive them. And forgive me for every person I've sinned against. And I break soul ties with those people and with my forefathers, with my mother and father. I call back my soul and spirit from them. And I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. Now I command all the familiar spirits of their forefathers out. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. We break curses of incest, curses of illegitimacy, all the way back to Adam and Eve. In Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. We command pain to go in Jesus' name. We break the power of fear, anger. Lord, I take all of my idols up the mountain. If it would glorify you the most, for me to have them or not have them, for people to treat me bad or good, so be it. If it'll glorify you the most, for everything to crash, I resign as God, and I take the government off my shoulders, and I put the government on your shoulders where it belongs. I remove vexation from my heart, and I put pain out of my body. I come against the spirit of cancer. The Lord showed me there's a man I know that's got a hernia, and it doesn't pop out of his stomach till he pushes himself beyond the brink. He's a workaholic. He loves to work. He thinks that he's just got to. He just can't stand it if he don't accomplish something. So about he'll work all day, and about 3 o'clock then he works really hard. He'll start pushing himself, and that hernia will pop out. And the Lord showed me today that when something pops out, it's because we've been pushing too hard. And see, if we had to grow up carrying everybody, and we had to be the mama and the daddy, we're pushed beyond the brink, and we're pushing ourselves, and it can affect anything that pops out, anything that's wrong. It can affect your bowels. It can affect your hernia. It can affect all of those things. So, Lord, God wants you to abide in Christ. That means get on the potter's wheel. What's the clay do? It rests. One thing the clay does is rest on the potter's wheel. But you got to get on. And the potter does everything else. So, Lord, I've been trying to turn the potter's wheel. I've been trying to crank up something that's not even you. And, Lord, I just get on the potter's wheel
and I abide in you. I want to please you, Lord. And I thank you. Praise you. Praise you. I come against the spirit of anger. I take the sword of the spirit and I cut out anger. I cut out fear. I cut out idols. I say, all idols be gone in Jesus' name. All pushing, all striving, all unrest has to go. All being performance oriented has to go. All legalism, all religious spirits have to go. All fear, hurt, doubt, unbelief, lying, stealing, lust, perversion has to go in Jesus' name. I cut the kingdom of Jezebel down. And Lord, we ask you to establish your kingdom in this place in Jesus' name. When you feel released, lift your hands and praise the Lord with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, you are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. And Lord, I forgive my mother and father. Let me illustrate. This is Psalms 91, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. It's a spiritual place, right? The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. So that's more real than this building, even though you can't see it. It's a spiritual place to run to. Most of us, because mother and daddy did not know the Lord and the generational iniquities of the forefathers, we were born outside of God's refuge. And this is where you get hit, out here. So you got to get in His refuge. Bless you. Lord, bless the food. Purify it, sanctify it. Bless it to not make us tired, not drag us down. Bless it to kill cancer cells, boost our immune system. Bless the food to digest and eliminate properly. And oh God, we are so grateful for it. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
This is the end of this message.